Dublin's good times all summer with Leanne Hanafin and Paul Ryder. Weekday mornings from 10 on 98FM.
I haven't been to see the new Superman movie yet. We were actually supposed to go last night, but I'm just too tired, right? We'll get to see it eventually. But apparently Crypto, who is kind of like this mischievous dog in the film, has sparked a huge spike in pet interest rate. So apparently Google searches for adopt a dog near me soared 513% after the film's release. Now, this got us thinking about, I suppose, the realities of adopting a dog here in Dublin, and who better to chat to than those who are doing the most incredible work with the DSPCA. And joining us right now is Kate Fitzsimons from the DSPCA. Kate, good morning. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you for coming in.
Of course.
I suppose, firstly, we'd like to know the typical dog adoption process from the first visit to bringing them home then. What does that look like?
Yeah, so for a lot of people, it's actually a lot quicker than what they think. So they come up, you have a chat with the staff, kind of have a talk through what you're interested in, what your lifestyle is like, kind of what size, breed, all that kind of stuff. But chat to the guys there and we'll go through the kind of personalities we have in the shelter, what ones would suit, what ones might not suit. And then we'll do a couple of meets. You can walk the dog, spend a bit of time. We have like a little meeting room, which is like set up like a sitting room, so you can sit and kind of get a real life feel for it. And then all going well, normally the adoption process is kind of like within a week or two. It's very, very quick from from meeting the dog to taking it home.
It is kind of like that show, is it for, not for the love of dogs, on Channel 4, where you see them rehoming different dogs.
Oh,
and it is kind
of
kind of like that. When you go in, you'll meet a dog. And what I love, because when we've two dogs, I have a Staffy and a Boxer. When we had the Staffy, we wanted to get him a friend and we really wanted to adopt. So we went to visit you guys at the DSPCA. But on the walls of where the rehoming section is, which is a beautiful area, it's not cagey, it's gorgeous, it really is kind of like, it feels like a home for the dogs, but it does give them their personalities of each dog.
Yeah, we try and guide people to kind of what would suit the dog, what kind of home would be best for them. But obviously with that, there is a conversation with every dog. So it might not necessarily that you are 100% fitting that bill, or you can have a chat with the staff and say, look, it says better suited to older kids, or it's better this, that, or the other. And we can chat through why that criteria is there and say, look, do you have a plan in place? What's your idea? Do you work? Okay, are you going to get a dog walker in? This dog is very active, very energetic. Have you have a plan for that kind of thing? Yeah. Or could be a more quiet, laid back dog. And they're like, I want to go on hikes. And we're like, I don't think he's going to be your pal.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing, those little bios, we call them, to kind of give a little bit of feedback from.
And education is so kind of a big part of your mission, to kind of teach people. How are you engaging like kids, young people, and even sometimes adults to understand the responsibilities that kind of pet ownership?
Yeah. So we have a summer camp on.
No way!
Running that all the way through the summer. Yeah. So it's really, really busy. It's really, really popular. So the kids come up, and I think that's where we try and catch them as early as possible and show them the reality of ownership and kind of what goes on behind the scenes as much as possible in a shelter, and kind of what's the day-to-day routine there. And then going through our training classes, we try and do like outreach programs to schools and stuff like that, do talks, do school tours, all that kind of stuff. And then go right the way through to, you know, adult education courses, like we do a dog training diploma for adults and stuff like that. So if someone's interested in learning about dogs, we're the place to go.
You have enough. We always talk in this show about wanting to do a summer camp as an adult.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When you said summer camps, I literally was like, that's me and Leanne now next week.
I would so do it. Kate, you have 250 animals under your care right now, which is absolutely wild, and it's a huge, huge number. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening right now want to know kind of how you're managing with that demand, but also if there's something that they can do to help.
Absolutely. So yes, we have a lot of animals, from dogs, cats, horses, everything. We're hugely reliant on our volunteers, so we always ask people if they have a little bit of free time, they want to come up. You know, if dog walking is too much, then, you know, absolutely the catteries might be an option. We, you know, from little things like folding laundry and doing washing, that kind of stuff. It's not always necessarily the physical stuff, but absolutely we would love for people to come up and volunteer with us down the line of kind of doing fundraising events and stuff like that, or fostering either. We are hugely reliant on our fosterers as well.
Can I ask about the fostering actually? Because I mentioned to you that we are huge animal lovers in our house. We grew up with them like our entire lives, and we actually fostered for the very first time at Christmas, which was so rewarding. It's kind of a heartbreaking thing as well, you know, because obviously you form an attachment to the dog or the cat or whoever it is that you're fostering. What's the process of that like? And I know you mentioned as well that sometimes the animals you have in your care go out to foster homes with kind of nearly an aim for them to be adopted then?
Yeah, yeah. So fostering is a huge umbrella, and there goes from your short-term fosters, the puppies aren't fully vaccinated because they can't come into the shelter yet, to mom and puppies, that will be a little bit longer, to dogs that might be unwell, need a bit of veterinary care, that need to go out and foster for kind of TLC, down to then like that, the kind of respite from the shelter. And dogs that are finding shelter life a little bit stressful, they might have been there for a little bit longer than we would like. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge range of volunteers that will come up, or fosterers that will come up and take them for a weekend or a week. And then some of them, fingers crossed, fall in love and become failed fosters, and then the dog, aww, hopefully, you know, doesn't end up back with
them. And is that the kind of advice you would give to somebody who is unsure about adopting or fostering, is kind of start small, start with the short term foster, see how you feel about it?
Yeah, have it, come up and have a chat with us and see what your day to day life is like. Short term, yeah, sometimes is puppies. Puppies aren't for everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's something you always kind of have a chat with, to see what's your day to day. Do you work from home, or are you out in the office all day, or, you know, what your routine is like, to see if puppies will see, or if it's an adult dog. Sometimes we have long-term fosterers that can be with us for, you know, months on end, they'd be ones where, you know, the normal foster might be going on holiday, so therefore another foster might step in and take them for those kind of 2 weeks and stuff like that. So if someone's not sure about adopting, a great way to start is the fostering, because they can kind of go, well, I'll try a puppy, no, puppy's not for me, oh, I'll try an older dog, love an older dog, and kind of, yeah, go from there, and they can kind of test the waters and see what suits them. Yeah. And that's something that, if when we're having a conversation, they're like, oh, I don't know if I want a bigger dog, but I don't have the space for a bigger dog, I want this and I don't want that, and we're like, well, do you know, why don't you foster himself and see kind of how you get on from there.
Yeah.
And Kate, if people want more information on what you do and all that information, where can they find it?
Our website has all the information we have on it. You can give us a call, or the best thing to do is just visit us. We're open Tuesday to Sunday from 12 to 4.
You're in Mafarnham?
We're in Rathfarnham.
Amazing. Yeah. Kate Fitzsimons in the DSPCA, thank you so much for joining us on 98FM.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98FM.
Irish music, right? We're so involved in it. We love keeping an eye on new songs that are coming out from Irish artists. C-Mat is a name that you've probably heard a lot recently. She has been around a while. She's actually from Dunboyne. She's after releasing a new album called Euro Country. It's actually based on the financial crisis in 2008.
Wow.
How she decided to write a song on that is interesting to me. But the talking point of today is the music video for the song that she released off of it, Euro Country. Because the music video was filmed in the Omni Shopping Centre in Santry.
I've never been in the Omni Shopping Centre in Santry.
So a couple of years ago, I used to live in Santry,
okay,
for about 3 years or so. So this would have been my local shopping centre.
What's in it?
Oh, like there's a New Look, there's a Superdrug, there's a Holland and Barrett, there's Pennies.
So it's good, like it's
good.
Not,
there's a Burger King, and then there's like the retail park outside, like this, the cinema and everything.
Oh,
yeah, it's good. You should pop up there
I might have
a little wander around and see what's going on. But it was filmed in the Omni Shopping Centre. If you get the chance today, check out this music video. C-Mat, it's called Euro Country, and in the music video, you can actually see her. And if you've been to the Omni, you know that there is a little fountain there.
Yeah.
She's like parading around the fountain and actually gets into the fountain.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, I kind of got us talking about Irish music videos and people who filmed here in Ireland, because obviously we have all these gorgeous picturesque, you know, scenes, Cliffs of Moher and all the rest of it. So the Omni Shopping Centre seemed like quite a obscure choice for C-Mat. But it got us talking, all people who have filmed here, you know, the likes of U2, they filmed The Sweetest Thing.
Yes.
The exact locations, Fitzwilliam Place, Upper and Lower Fitzwilliam Street, as well as Leeson Street and Hollow Street. So they were real kind of like on the road, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
One that I remember, because I begged my parents to bring me to, was Stony Batter, when Spice Girls filmed the Stop music video here. Because remember, they would have been height of fame when they were filming Stop. So all of a sudden, Dublin 8 was alight with five English girls who were taking to the streets, shutting down roads, shutting down community centres for their Stop video.
And did people know, like, was it publicised that they were filming, or was it just kind of word on the street?
No, everyone knew who it was, because I think what happens is you have to tell the neighbourhood, obviously, what's going on, because they're shutting down streets.
Mm.
And then I think the first kind of set of things landed in, like props and all the rest of it, and text have landed in, and somebody clocked that it said Spice Girls Stop on it. So then the whole world and its mother of the surrounding areas tried to get into the Stop music video. And they used actual kids from the area. They didn't use like stage school brats or anything like that. They literally got kids from Stony Batter to be in the video.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98 FM.